Thank you very much, Hyunjin and Bernd. First, a few additional words on the Tiger exhibition with some inevitable overlaps. Before I introduce David Tee, the curator of the second exhibition, Misfits, which we are opening in the newly refurbished exhibition hall number 2, as we call it now. 2 or 3 projects form the direct background of the exhibition 2 or 3 Tigers. The project Tradition Unrealized, which Hyunjin Kim realized at Arco Art Center in 2014, also in collaboration with David Tee. And also the exhibition Interrupted Survey, directly referring to the title of that interrupted survey of the lithograph you've seen in Bernd Scherer's talk, which opened the Asia Culture Center in Guangzhou in 2015 and is still running there until this September. I'd like also to stress that rather than being a kind of regional survey, this exhibition is based on long-term research projects by the artists, many of whom are in a sometimes latent and sometimes open contestation with the respective national representations of history. And they form together a network of interconnected research projects on a subterranean political history, perhaps with a different universalist outlook. And the exhibition also is the result of long-term collaborations between Hyunjin and myself. We had the chance to work together on an installation, a chapter of the Animism exhibition upon Hyunjin's invitation in Seoul in 2013. And many of the artists are also no strangers to audiences here in Berlin, where they have shown previous work, for instance, in the DAAD Gallery or in the Berlin International Film Festival. In the exhibition, only 3 works display actual references to tigers. In these works, the tiger symbol always appears in the process of resignification, in transition from one meaning to another as a shape-shifting symbol. That is, in this exhibition, the tiger is not merely the other or spectral underside of colonial and modern bureaucratic rationality, rather it is itself a kippbild, a liminal figure revealing ideological contradictions. Whether, for instance, the tiger stands for the wilderness and the threat of chaos or the royalty that exploits the peasantry or the Western colonizer, as we learn in Ho Zun Yen's work downstairs, depends on just who is looking. In Zun Yen's work, the tiger symbol moves, among other things, from being a mediator of the ancestor world to symbolizing both the threat of chaos and of domination to impersonating imperial and capitalist predation. The other works take their cue from this kippbild, this shape-shifting entity, to explore questions of the mediation of history. The function of the kippbild, this multi-stable figure, just as the rabbit-duck figure, is to explore questions of mediation of history. The function of the kippbild is not least to make us aware of our own agency in constructing the image and its meaning. Here it might make sense to invoke Walter Benjamin's dictum that technology and magic are historical variables. In several works, thus, particularly those of Minok Lim, Cha Wei-su, and Ho Zun Yen, you find a reflexive, analytic treatment of the question of media and the tension between old and new media, and particularly between spirits that act as media, as mediums in their interaction with humans, and modern mass media, and particularly digital media and computer-generated animation. Because in the genre of digital animation, the shape-shifting of the were-tiger and the grid or web woven by the theodolite, the measuring instrument, are no longer juxtaposed as in the lithograph shown by Bernd Scherer, which serves us as a kind of primal scene, just as it has served Zun Yen's work, an Urszene for this exhibition. The tiger and the theodolite, and I will just show an image of Zun Yen's work rendering that lithograph, and a second image revealing the from the second part of the word, reflecting the production process of 3D animations. In this image, they have entered into a different kind of relation than depicted in the 19th century lithograph today. Their difference, tiger and theodolite, is under the threat of vanishing. It is the function of this exhibition to sound out this difference and the view of history that depends on it. Perhaps because it is also the difference between techno-capitalism's fantasy of a universal mediality and a search for different forms of global commonality in the ruins of imperial history. The web woven by the Theodolite has become a planetary envelope today, a universalized envelope acting in tandem with capital's dream and phantasm of overcoming the bounds of matter, of a dematerialized universal mediality, as achieved through digital code and its union with the medium of money. The situation depicted in this image from Hodzunian's work might hence be an inversion of what Walter Benjamin described with regards to early photography, animation, and moving images, namely that they restored gesture to older forms of mimesis to modern human beings. Since the rise of digital animation, the situation might have been inverted. People no longer go to the cinema to learn to cry again, but instead are trained to accept that even their emotions might not be theirs anymore. These are also among the questions that we want to touch upon in the program of lectures, discussions, and screenings starting tomorrow at 4 p.m. and commencing on Saturday at 2 p.m., including Yuk Hoi, Shabir Hussain Mustafa, Kevin Chua, Hodzunian, Yongwo Li, Yeonjin Kim, Miyu, Ho Rui An, Siren Eng Yung Jong, and Hongko Han, Park Chang Kyong, and several screenings. My thanks go to all the artists, to the HKW team and its director Bernd Scherer, to Gernot Ernst and his fabulous team for the installation, and in particular to my close colleagues Sonja Oehler, Franziska Janetsky, Dunja Salan, and Elisabeth Krämer for their marvelous work in organizing this exhibition. And of course, to Hyunjin Kim in particular. Also, a last note on the Tigers, we have an online publication with articles, both by some of the artists, such as Park Chang-kyung and Ho Tsun-yen, as well as Kevin Chua and other scholars and people that will also be appearing in our conference program, as well as others. A few introductory remarks now leading to David Tay and the exhibition Misfits. Misfits, Pages from a Loose Leaf Modernity, which is the second exhibition in our series, calling itself Kanonfragen. Last year, we opened the program Kanonfragen with a conference entitled A History of Limits. And it is this concept of limits that we further explore in a series of exhibition projects, conferences, and publications, focusing sometimes on individual figures such as artists, critics, or museum professionals, as well as on the history of exhibitions, cultural diplomacy, and concepts of art in the context of geopolitical constellations. Misfits showcases the work of three singular artists, and in so doing, it raises numerous questions on the relationship of contemporary art to modernity and its modernisms and current canonization practices. Our guiding question is, what exactly is that nature of the meaning and the currency of the global? Has, for example, the global art of modernity and the present day always automatically been an instrument of democratization? The crumbling of the conventional post-Cold War era wisdom that globalization as such means democratization and progress is only one of the reasons underscoring the necessity to no longer accept inclusion simply as a positive asset, but to closely analyze its mechanisms. What is required is a fundamental reappraisal of the very parameters framing the perception of reality, the boundaries of visibility and invisibility, and the manner in which experiences are reflected in evidence. The act of inclusion must be accompanied by an active crisis of knowledge about the object, a crisis of definition. Art is capable of inciting this crisis, and it is our task to facilitate this by conversely subjecting the concept of art to such an ongoing interrogation. This is what I believe Misfits does in an exemplary way, and my gratitude goes to David T. and to Ying Kerr, Merv Espina, and Mary Pansanga, who have implemented this long-term project with great passion and precision. In June, there will be a second program related to Two or Three Tigers, which David T., Hyunjin Kim, and myself have co-organized, which explores a theme that closely connects the two exhibitions, the flight from empire. It is a weekend-long program of talks and screenings that takes its cue from James Scott's book, The Art of Not Being Governed, speaking about the difficulties that nation-states and empires historically had in establishing both their rule and their grip on memory. And James Scott will be among those presenting. And then finally, in late June and early July, we will host another weekend of events organized by David Tay, scrutinizing the questions posed by the exhibition Misfits. Thank you, David.
Hello, everybody, and thank you for joining us tonight. It's a great honor to be here, to be opening and sharing with you the exhibition Misfits. It's been a great honor and very stimulating to work with Anselm and Hyunjin for a number of years on the background research that you've already heard about. I suppose it's terribly unfashionable to be quoting André Malraux, but I have quoted him in this publication for Misfits. I had in mind the famous photographs of Malraux surrounded, surveying the floor of his study, which was tiled from wall to wall with photographs of artworks from every imaginable tradition, contemplating a vast, potentially universal, common heritage of all mankind. We tend to be more skeptical today, even in a house of world cultures, of such universal or encyclopedic surveying, grouping, and regrouping. The arts, we now say, cannot be the mediums of transcultural understanding without at the same time being mediums of struggle, of subjectivization, even of repression. But Malraux's Musée Imaginaire, or Museum Without Walls, also signaled at the same time a certain doubt about the authority of the European collection as repository and guarantor of aesthetic value and perhaps of knowledge itself. This doubt is a very healthy thing, and I would like to think is still fundamental to the business of modern and contemporary art, fundamental to the art of globalization and to the globalization of art and to any responsible study of those, fundamental to any putatively global or world art history. Misfits began as discovery in the cobbling together of an archival project on the work of an inspiring but neglected modernist, Tung Chung. And I have to make a special note of thanks to the House and to Anselm for having partly sponsored that initial research project in the rice fields to the west of Bangkok. The project then grew through discussion about two things. Firstly, about the increasing appetite of large institutions, mainly in the West, not always in the West, but mainly in the West, for non-Western modern art, and the often only semi-informed process by which that expansion was proceeding. Secondly, about the individuals, the stewards, as we are calling them, who, in the absence of a professionalized workforce, in many places at least, were stepping into the breach and finding themselves responsible for an artist's legacy, the friends, family, and the fans, with their various training, various aims, and various methods. This then expanded to include dialogues about two other artists with two such stewards. Yin Kerr, an art historian working in Singapore, about the work of Bagji Ong So, and Merv Espina in Manila, who was already cataloguing the oeuvre of Rox Lee. I've relied on these figures, as well as on Mary Pansangar, a great deal in the preparation of the exhibition. My thanks also go to the core lenders for the exhibition, Mr. Tip Se Tang, and we're joined tonight by his son, Nawapu Se Tang. Thank you very much. Mr. Jasdeep Sandhu and Rox Lee himself, I also have to thank the teams that have put in so much tireless effort to realize the exhibition, the Cooperative for Darstellingpolitik, the designers node, as well as, of course, the team here at the house. I'm grateful, perhaps above all, to these people who each occupy very different positions in the art economy, for seeing how important it is that we interrogate the habits through which culture is made valuable, whether that be in museums, in artist-run spaces, or indeed in commercial galleries. And I applaud this institution for its commitment to that questioning. Not just its curatorial staff, but its patient administrators, its dedicated technicians, who we've found just as thoughtful and responsive to this challenge. Please do join us for the public program weekends. Please grab a copy of the Misfits booklet, which we love, and I hope you enjoy the show. I'd now like to introduce our performance, which will be Musique Concrète, Composition / Improvisation by Duto Hardono. Duto is an artist and an educator based in Bandung, in Indonesia, whose work brings together found and ready-made elements across visual and oral media. He's performed and exhibited widely across Asia, but he told me today this is his first visit to Berlin, so please make him welcome. Thank you. Thank you.